He's got an eight to the end.
Hi, everyone. Hi, this is Jeff Sachs again. Welcome back, Masechet Tanit. Apologies that last week we were not able to meet. Unfortunately, next week I have a non-negotiable conflict and we won't be able to have Shiur next week. But we will meet now tonight, which is, of course, our purpose here.
We gifted out of Chagas Shavuot, so we're really not...
Shavuot, it will be Shavuot in Chutz La'aretz. We'll have to figure out what we're doing about that. We'll probably have Shiur on that Tuesday night, and you can catch the recording, Yehudi. Here we are at the bottom of Yud Bet Amud Bet. It's part of the punishment of being in Chutz La'aretz is you have to miss the shiur.
And I deserve it too.
Right. Here we are. The Mishnah at the bottom of Yud Bet. The Mishnah says, "Avru Elu." If the first cycle of fasts, you remember, that's how we got onto this topic. These fasts that are instituted, because of drought. If that first cycle of fast passes and it still has not rained, velo ne'anu, they were not answered, their prayers were not answered, beitin gozrin shalosh ta'aniot acherot al hatzibur. They make three additional fasts, a cycle of Monday, Thursday, Monday. On those fasts, ochlin v'shotin mi ba'od yom, you can eat and drink the night before. Va'asurin bimlacha uverechitza uvesicha uvenilata sandal v'tashmish amita. The five prohibitions that we know from Tisha B'Av and that we know from Yom Kippur, from the major fasts, would be in effect on these fasts. That includes, it's even more expansive. It says va'osrin bimelacha. The Gemara will discuss that topic. They do not do melacha. Which melacha are we talking? Like Shabbat, or are we saying that they have to close their businesses? We'll get to. But the other prohibitions of washing and anointing oneself and wearing leather shoes and sexual relations are forbidden. As well, they say Noalin et Amerchatzaot. They would lock up the bathhouses. Presumably they would lock the bathhouses so that people would not, I guess, violate. I guess you don't have to say they would close the restaurants since you can't eat. But they would close the bathhouses since bathing is prohibited.
Wouldn't they be wanting to save water anyway?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Closing the bathhouses is not part of that to save the water, because they have a drought. I think they want to save water.
Well, that's very interesting. That's very interesting. Well, they didn't close the bathhouses on the non-fast days. In other words, the days between the fast days, the bathhouses were open. So that's an interesting question. If it's in a time of drought, you know, why are the bathhouses open anyway? Presumably they were kept open. They didn't change the law.
They talk about Chamei Teveria, these like natural springs, which wouldn't have been affected necessarily by the...
Well, the Gemara is going to come to that. The Gemara is going to come to the Chamei Teveria. But that's not what the Merchatzaot are. The Merchatzaot were bathhouses, where water, you know, wherever it was drawn from. Avru Eilu. I'm sorry, you to say that again?
Had a half big well, also were open all the time.
Yes, so the Gemara is also going to exactly make that point as well. Avru Elu, if those three fasts come and go, Vilo Ne'anu, Betin Gozrin Alehen, Od Sheva. So then there's a cycle of seven fasts. Again, seven fasts, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday. B'sach HaKol, Shehein, Yud Gimel Tanya. 13 fasts, a cycle of 13 fasts altogether. The first three, the second three, and then the final seven. 3 plus 3 plus 7 equals 13. Al HaTzibur. Hare Elu Yeterot Al HaRishonot. And those last seven fasts are even more stringent. Al HaRishonot. She Be'elu Matri'in. On those additional fasts, what would they do? Matri'in. They would blow the shofar, they would blow the trumpet, or there would be some kind of blowing. The Gemara will discuss that. V'no'alin et achanuyot, and they close up all the shops and stores. B'sheni matin im achashecha. On Monday, they open the fasts at night. They open the shops at night so that people can, you know, go get food to break the fast with. V'chamishi mutarin mitmekvod haShabbat. When were the stores closed? The stores were closed on Mondays, but they would reopen at the end of the fast in the evening. And on Thursdays, they were open. They wouldn't close the stores on Thursdays because of Kavod Shabbat. Since Thursday was the day you would go to do all your marketing for Shabbat, they left the stores open.
Does Imchashecha mean dark or with the approach of the pocket? Remember, by Ben Mavinkin, they say, Shlosh Shadu Barit. So that has to be before.
So in that Mishnah, it's obviously in that Mishnah, it's talking about before the sunset. Here, it probably means at the end of the day. At the end of the day, so people could go out and buy food and then get home in order to break the fast.
So
probably the same thing. I'm going to come back to the word chanuyot in a minute. Avru elu velo na'anu, and if all of those 13 fasts came and went, and they were not answered, mima'atin b'masa uv'matan, they would decrease all of their business transactions. Uve'erusin, uve'nisuin, and also engagements and marriages. Uve'she'ilat shalom ben adam l'chaveiro, and like on Tisha B'Av, when you're in mourning, you don't greet other people. Kivnei Adam hanizufin lamakom, like people who have been punished by God, who've been kicked by God, who are on the outs with God. Hayichidi, because in other words, you did all this fasting and all this shuva, right? And after all of that, 13 fasts. Each cycle getting more and more progressively stringent, you do all that work and it still hasn't rained. So that's a sign that there's something wrong with your relationship above.
I have a problem with Erusin. Erusin is something you can even do on Tisha B'Av.
So it's possible that this is not the halakha l'maaseh. You are contrasting the din in the Mishnah with the halakha l'maaseh of Tisha B'Av. Hayichidim chozrin umitanin ad sheyetzei nisan. The yichidim, which we said previously were Talmidei Chachamim, they continue fasting every Monday and Thursday until the end of Nisan. Meaning after those 13 fasts, we don't make any more fasts for the Tzibur. But these distinct individuals, Talmidei Chachamim, would continue fasting until the end of Nisan. Yatsa Nisan v'yardu gshamim siman klala. Yehudi, I'm sorry. Let's get through the material first, and then we'll let you ask your questions. Okay. If after Nisan it starts to rain, if the prayers are answered only too late, it's a siman klala. It's a curse, because if it rains then after Nisan, it ruins the crops. It ruins the wheat crops. We're coming up now on Shavuot. Shavuot is the time when they would harvest the wheat. If it starts raining, all of the wheat will go rotten. How do we know that? It's a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, when Shmuel is rebuking the people for their request to give a king, and he's very unhappy about it. He says, "Halo katsir chitim hayom? Isn't it now? It must be around May. It must be the end of May. It must be time for Chag HaShavuot. You're out there doing the wheat harvest. I can make it rain. It'll be a punishment for you." Right? You should do tshuva. It'll be a punishment for you if it rains now. And in fact, it starts to rain. This is Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Beis, chapter 12. And it starts to rain, and the people call out and cry out to Hashem to stop the rain, and the rain stops. But that is the source, that's the proof that rain after Nisan is no good, even if there'd been this drought the whole long time. That's the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah had mentioned this idea of closing up the shops, the chanuyot. So right before we began the shiur, Yehudi is a special Jew joining us. Yehudi, I'm sorry, I forgot. Where are you?
In New Jersey, in Rockaway, New Jersey.
New Jersey, the Halig of New Jersey. The Halig of New Jersey, my own home state. And he sends me this pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Hear me out. I'm only too delighted at the thought that somebody was preparing ahead and looking ahead to what we would be learning tonight. It should be a lesson for us all, as I often point out. But he says the only time, what did you say, the only time or the first time in Tanakh the word chanut appears is in Yirmiyahu?
The first and the moment.
The first day here in Yirmiyahu. So what happens? Yirmiyahu says, Kiva Yirmiyahu el Beit Habor ve'ela chanuyot v'yeshev sham Yirmiyahu yamim rabim. Here, chanuyot has a kind of context of a like a dungeon. So I immediately turned to our friend David, the linguist, to explain to us the origins of this word chanut, which for us, in modern Hebrew, in Mishnaic Hebrew, and on, it means a store, a shop. But what does the word chanut, what's the etymology of the word chanut, David?
I'm looking at like Ben Yehuda's dictionary, for example. He says it means a room under a building, which would that would be where Yirmiyahu was held. But it was also like a place to store things in general under the building, which later developed into a place that things were sold from that place of storage. And I think it might be related to this word store, which originally, you know, refers to this place that things are stored, a storage place. Mm-hmm. And from there, it developed to a place that those things are also sold.
So many stores in the States used to have that place you could build that. On the pavement, you'd see that place as you'd open up in order to go down to the basement. You bump into it sometimes. They don't have them anymore. But there was a time when every single pavement that had stores had places where it was like an opening to the underground below the store. On the pavement, you'd see these, okay? So it may very well be that a store meant it was a place underground for storage. That's right. It works in English, too. I never thought of that. That's excellent. Thank you.
I mean, if you think about it, like in Manhattan, even in Yerushalayim, there are a lot of buildings which are residential. Think about these buildings here. We all live in Efrat. These buildings that are being built, this large residential tower, but the ground floor are all shops. In Buchach, in Agnon's hometown of Buchach, there's a building, a rather famous building. It's an architectural marvel, the town hall. In Hebrew, they called it the Beit HaMoetzot. But it was the town hall. It was built in this very elaborate architectural style, kind of out of sync with the rest of this kind of small Eastern European town. And the building still stands. Let me see if I can find the picture of it. The building still stands, and it's in the middle of the town square. Oh, here, hold on a second. Here, let me show you. Here, you see here? Right, here's the building. And the ground floor, it's kind of like a, it's not ground floor and it's not a basement. It's like a half a level down. It's like a half basement. And those were all shops. And those were shops that were held in perpetuity by families. Agnon describes this in a few stories, that there were these stores that you would pass from generation to generation in this ground floor. So you see the same idea existed even in late medieval and early modern Europe. Okay. So let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Bishlama kulhu it bihu ta'anug. I understand all of these things that are prohibited on these fast days are pleasurable. Washing and marital relations and eating and drinking, certainly, and sicha, anointing yourself with creams and lotions. Aval melacha tsa'arhu. But why should doing malacha be prohibited? Why should doing work be prohibited? Malacha causes suffering. Right? In other words, you tell somebody, take the day off, that's usually a source of pleasure. If I give you a vacation day, you don't claim that causes you distress. Amar Rav Chisda, Omar Rav Yirmiya, Bar Abba, Omar Kra. Kadshu Tzom, Kiru Atzara, Isfuz Kenim. It's a posuk in the book of Yoel. Yoel talks about fasting and about plagues. And as a matter of fact, we're coming up. When are they having the, what is it called? The kikadas, the sikadas? What are they called? How do you pronounce that word? Cicadas.
Cicada.
The cicadas, which are like the locusts. We're not going to get them, right? Where are they, those cicadas on their... it's a 14-year cycle?
Pretty sure it's 17 years.
17 years. But they don't come here, do they?
No, they're in North America.
In North America. But in the Book of Yoel, they talk about the locusts and the whatnot. So that pasuk that says you should kidshu tzom, you should dedicate a fast, right? You should karu atzara, you should call an atzeret, an assembly, and you should gather together the zkenim, gather together the elders, right? So that is a kind of proof text for conduct on a fast day. So the Gemara says ki atzeret. Ma atzeret asur basiyat malacha, af ta'anit asur basiyat malacha. The Gemara wants to make a gzeira shava. What's an atzeret? Like shmini atzeret. Atzeret is a nickname for Yom Tov. So just like on Yom Tov you don't do malacha, the Gemara says, so on these fast days, not the initial fast days, but the later cycle of fast days, as things get more stringent, you should prohibit malacha. Just like on Yom Tov, because of this pasuk in Yirmiyahu. So ima atzeret miurta, af ta'anug nami miurta. So okay, the Gemara says, if that's the case, if you want to say that Yom Tov becomes the template for how to conduct ourselves on a ta'anit, which is obviously strange. The Gemara can't be, this comparison cannot be taken at face value. Right? What are you talking about? You want to say that the laws of fast days are derived from the laws of Yom Tov? What's the one thing we know about Yom Tov?
You don't fast.
Not only don't you not fast, you eat a lot. Right? You know what Yom Tov is right. Like. You gain 10 pounds just thinking about
it.
What?
Atzara just temple. I mean, the pshat doesn't work.
Yes, no.
Itself.
No, but the Gemara wants to say, the Gemara wants to make a drasha and say that the word atzeret is in a certain context in Tanakh, a code word for Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, wait a second. All right, let's take it to the logical conclusion. If you want to compare a fast day to Yom Tov, Yom Tov starts at night. Yom Tov is always 24 hours. So you should also stop eating. You should also stop doing all of those other things. All of those other prohibitions should already be prohibited from sundown the day before. So Amar Rebbe Zeira, L'didei mefarshali minei, the Rebbe Yirmiya bar Abba. So Rebbe Zeira says, this explains, this was explained by Rebbe Yirmiya bar Abba, who said, the pasuk isvuz kenim is the operative part of the pasuk. Gather together the elders. When were the elders? When were the elders gathered together? Dumya, David, what are you posting here?
I say that in terms of Sarah, there's actually a disagreement among scholars and also in earlier before about what exactly that Sarah means. The number of and it can either mean assembly or gathering. It also can mean in to stop working. That like Ibn Ezra's form will say that's the original meaning of it, Sarah, is that you stop working. But others say it means to gather. That's a gathering. You have the word atzara, for example, in Yeshayahu, and some say it means delay, and some say it means delusion, and a lot of meaning. So it's not necessarily, it depends how you understand the word, but it might not be against the pshat. It might just be a debate about what the word actually refers to.
I'm sending you a search of it, Rabbi Sachs.
Get it in the mail in
about 2 minutes.
Okay. So the Gemara goes on and says, this is what he means by the rest of the Pasuk in Yoel, Isfu Zkenim. Dumya de Asefat Zkenim. Ma Asefat Zkenim Bayom. Aftsom Nami Bayom. So the idea of Atzeret as being the code word to tell us stop Melacha, that tells us about Melacha. In terms of the time frame of when you stop Melacha, don't think it would be like Yom Tov, which is 24 hours, because the phrase Isfu Zkenim tells you that the Zkenim, like in the Sanhedrin, they would only meet during the day. So the Pasuk can indicate multiple teachings, right? One part tells you don't do Melacha. Another part tells you when not to do malacha. So isvu zkenim, just like the zkenim, would only meet during the day. So the prohibition to work only applied during the day. So ve'ema mitiara. But wait a second. The zkenim, when they would meet, when the Sanhedrin would meet, it would start meeting at midday. So maybe the prohibition to work should only be from midday on. So Omer Rav Sheshit, Berei de Rav Idi, Misaye Leila Rav Huna, De Omer Mitzafra Kinufya. No, it's a machloket when the Sanhedrin or when the Zakenim would meet. And there's an opinion that they only started meeting from midday on, and there's another opinion that they started meeting from the morning. So this idea supports that opinion of Rav Huna, that they would start meeting from the morning. So Hechi Avdi, What would the Zakenim do on a fast day? Omar Abaye, Mitzafra ad palga de yoma, maininan bimile de mata. On a fast day, when in Yoel, when it says Isvuz Zakenim, gather together the elders, what was the purpose of gathering together the elders on a fast day? So it says, from the morning, they would sit Mitzafra, from the morning ad palga de yoma, from morning until midday, they would sit and they would examine mile damata, in yanei ha'ir. They would do a kind of spiritual accounting of what's going on in our community. You know, like we all probably go once a year to the shul meeting, the not the board meeting, because if you're not on the board, you don't go to the board meetings. But once a year, they have the asefa klalit, the general meeting, membership meeting. So what usually goes on at that meeting? Not much, right? But imagine if you had like a gathering of the zkenim, of the community, to get together to talk about where are we holding? How's minyan attendance? And who's going to the she'ur? And how much chesed is going on? And is there anybody who fell through a crack? Right? The truth is, I was very proud. There's an initiative behind the scenes here in our town. You know, there are a lot of people out of work because of Corona. There are people that lost their jobs, businesses that failed, all types of other things. So there's this kind of very, very quiet but thorough effort going on, organized through the welfare department, community by community, but shul by shul, right? They're in touch with every shul, right, to do a check, you know, who's out of work, who's in need of help, who could use a hand. That's the kind of thing that should be done from time to time. And the Gemara is saying that's what fast days are for. A kind of stock taking of where we're holding as a town or as a community, and where we can improve, where we can do more, where we can do more chesed, where we can do more learning, where we can improve things. So that's what they would do. They would sit in the first part of the day and they would do this kind of accounting of what's happening. Mikan ve'elach, and from midday on, Rivadiyoma Krenan Besifra Uva'aftarta. A quarter of the day, meaning the first 12-hour day, if you take the sun, the days, the hours of sunlight and divide it into 12, the first 6 hours, they're doing this general meeting about the status of the town. And then the next 3 hours, they're laning and reading the Haftorah. You know that the Haftorah on a fast day is kind of important. The Gemara elsewhere says that the whole purpose of having Kriyat HaTorah at Mincha is only so we can read that Haftarah from Yeshayahu, which, you know, talks about these topics. So for 3 hours they would read the Sefer Torah and read the Haftarah. It sounds like a lot of leaning. That's longer than our fast day leaning. Mikan ve'elach bo'enan rachame. And for the last 3 hours of the day they would pray for mercy. Shne'emar v'yakumu al amdam v'yikru b'sefer Torah Hashem Elokeichem rivi'it hayom. That's a pasuk in Nehemiah, which describes one of these types of assemblies that they would daven for. They would call out to Hashem for a quarter of the day, or v'yet mitvadim, and a quarter of the day they would confess or mishtachavim l'Hashem Elokeichem, right? So the Gemara now says, hold on, at the top of Daf Yud Gimel Omer Aleph, Ipuch Ana. You can say the opposite. Right? Maybe it should be the opposite. Maybe you should first daven and then do the spiritual accounting. Like, what makes more? What's a better way to do it? Like, how would you organize the day? I mean, it's so foreign to us, since our besides Tisha B'Av, where people really do put in a certain number of hours, you know, there's so much going on these days on Tisha B'Av online and shuls. They show movies, they have presentations, they do everything except say the keynote. They explain the keynote, they talk about the keynote, they show movies about the things that are discussed in the keynote. But everybody understands that saying the keynote is really awful. But they spend some time like trying to make it meaningful. But the other fast days anyway, when, you know, the truth is people that have to work usually have to work on the fast days. We don't forbid milacha. But it's a time of spiritual accounting. I mean, I was thinking the truth is that this terrible, terrible, terrible event on Lag BaOmer in Meron, in the times of Chazal, there'd be a fast day. In the times of Chazal, they would have made a ta'anit. I don't know, a ta'anit every year, right? But we, who were witness to this, you know, it would be an occasion for some kind of national tshuva. Instead of what we're going to witness, which will be va'adot chakira, investigations, you know, trying to figure out where to point the finger. Where to point the finger. You know where it always comes down to? It always comes down to school. Right? And as people always will say, it's an educational problem. So it becomes the school's responsibility. There is no problem in the country that we cannot put onto the back of the educational system. Right? If people drive like maniacs, it's a problem of the culture, and therefore schools should address it. If there's a problem of racism, schools should address it. Right? If there's a problem of tension between religious and secular, there's a flaw in the system, schools should address it. There's no problem that can't be put onto the schools. And the Misrad HaChinuch is constantly trying to deal with all these things because it doesn't matter. And it's a way of kicking the can down the road. Since you never know what the result of schooling is for many years to come, so, you know, it's just a way to pass responsibility. Say again?
Oh, wait a minute. Isn't it important to make sure this doesn't happen again next year? I mean, push comes to shove. In a ton of chazar, the only thing you could do to make sure it wouldn't happen again was pass this war. Today, we could do more than that. I mean, we can't go, you know, in a culture where the only thing you can do is pray to Hashem, so that's what you do. But in a culture where there's possibilities of making preventive measures that would actually keep something like this from happening again, that's the job of the government.
Absolutely. So then it should be done and not kicked down the road to something else. It should be more than just a game of finger pointing and trying to find somebody to take the blame. Right?
I think the government
in the Misach Yomi, which is coming up in the Daf Yomi, they're talking about how there was a, you know, one time when someone got pushed on the they stopped the whole thing because they certainly did things more than just that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm just trying to make the point. They didn't have the governmental structure that we have today that makes it possible to take concrete measures to see.
Sure they did. They had much more. They had much more. In the times of the Mikdash and the Sanhedrin, they would have been able to say no more Meron. It's usher to go to Meron on Lag BaOmer.
Maybe we should do that.
Say it, but you'd need a government that was willing to say that. What? And there's so much cynicism about. Okay, this is a separate conversation. Let's go on together. So the Gemara says, no, don't say the opposite. The point was, like, maybe it should be the opposite. Maybe first you should daven, and then you should have this national assembly where you debate and figure out and try to get it right and do the stock taking. Maybe that should come afterwards. So the Gemara says, Lo salke datcha. Don't think that. Dichtiv. And then it brings a pasuk from Ezra. Ve'elai ya'asfu kol charad bidvar bidivrei elokei Yisrael al ma'al hagola. Ezra says that everybody, they would gather to Ezra, and everyone who was a little charedi, not meaning ultra-Orthodox, but people who literally quaked at the sound of Hashem's voice because of the mi'ilah, because of the trespass, because of the lack of faithfulness of the people of the captivity, meaning the people that had come back up with him. V'chtivu v'minchat ha'erev kamti mita'anati v'efresa kapai al Hashem. So as Ezra describes, that's what they did. In the beginning, everybody came, and there was discussion, and there was debate. And at the end of the day, he made the mincha, and he davened, and etc. And that's the way it ought to, and that's the way it ought to be. Right? In other words, the psukim in Ezra and Nehemiah both show that first you have to deal with the issues. Not that daven, you can daven afterwards. Right? First, you have to roll up your sleeves and try to make it better. Now the Gemara goes on to a new topic. Omar Raphram Bar Popa. You remember Raphram Bar Popa? You went to a Siyum. You remember the Siyum? We all had a Siyum on Erev Pesach, at least. Maybe before, after that, there's been a Siyumim for the Daf Yomi in between. So Raphram Bar Popa, he's one of those guys in the Siyum. But he wasn't just there because of the beer. He also had things to say. Omer Raphram Bar Papa, Omer Rav Chisda, Kol Shehu Mishum Evel, Kegon Tisha Ba'av, Ve'evel, Asur Bein Bechamin Bein Betzonin. Now the Gemara is discussing this issue of washing. So whenever you have a prohibition to wash a prohibition to wash because of mourning, whether it's Tisha B'Av or whether it's actual mourning, like somebody who's mourning their dead, you're forbidden to wash whether in hot water or cold water. Kol shu mishum ta'anug kegon ta'anit sibur b'chamin asur b'tsonein mutar. But on one of these communal fasts where they tell you you can't wash, aside from Tisha B'Av, which is in a different category, so there, it's not the prohibition that you're in mourning. The prohibition is that you have to refrain from certain pleasures, like washing. Which kind of washing is a pleasure you should refrain from? Washing in hot water. But washing in cold water on a fast day, he says, would be permitted. Omer of Idi Bar Avin, Af Anan Namitanina. We also learned in this Mishnah, in our Mishnah, V'no'alinet amirchatzaot. They would close up the bathhouses. So Omer le'abaye, V'ibet sonin asur, Sokrinet anaharod miboy le'mitne. But wait a second. If it would be prohibited to wash even with cold water, so then the Mishnah should have said, if it's prohibited to wash at all, the Mishnah should have said they should dam up the rivers so that they should turn off, from time to time you have a hafsakat mayim, you have a water outage. They should shut off the water in town so that nobody can have any cold water to wash with either. So obviously that's not, that's the Mishnah, obviously that's not possible. It's obviously not possible. It can't be serious that they said we should stop all the rivers from running, right? Since you can't stop all the water, the fact that the Mishnah says close the bathhouses is not proof of the fact that it's only forbidden to wash in warm water. That is, the Mishnah wants to say, since we say close the bathhouses, what was the point of a bathhouse? We talked about this very recently, how difficult it was to get a hot bath, right? The amount of labor that was involved in chopping wood and heating water and filling a tub and etc. That's why people went, you couldn't do it in your own home. You'd go to the bathhouse and you take a bath there, probably in dirty water, which, you know, you wanted to get there first thing in the day, not last thing in the day. But it was water that was heated up. So the Gemara says, from the fact they say we close the bathhouses, we can infer that only hot water bathing is forbidden. So the Gemara answers, that's what Rabbi Idi Bar Abba says. No, you can't infer that, right? In other words, the fact that we have no mechanism to turn off all the water in town, right, doesn't mean that only hot water bathing. Maybe there's a different reason the bathhouses were closed. Omer of Shesha Berei through of Idi. Abba hochi kashile. Michdei tnan asur berechitza. No alina tamerchatzaot lamali. So there's a different question. If it's forbidden to bathe, according to all opinions, it's forbidden to bathe in hot water. We're debating whether or not it's also forbidden to bathe in cold water. But according to all opinions, it's forbidden to bathe in hot water. Why does the Mishnah need to specify, and we lock the bathhouses? Isn't that redundant? Ella lav shmamine b'chamin asur b'tzonein mutar. So that's why the Mishnah says we lock the bathhouses. Because the bathhouses are a kind of code word for saying hot water bathing is forbidden, but cold water bathing is permitted. So lema messiah.
Wouldn't it easier of understanding the Mishnah by why they closed the bathhouses was not because of hot or cold water, just because it was like a symbolic thing. You know, we're not going to have. It's like, you know, I don't know. If they would close the movie theaters on Yom HaShoah, people might still watch stuff in their houses. They have DVDs or whatever, but you know, it's a symbolic thing. We're not going to have open bathhouses and see people go in. Maybe.
And we talked about this. Right, we talked about this 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago about people who are people who are a patur from fasting the propriety of eating in public. Right? So maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. So lema masaile kol chayev tfilot tovlin kedarkan. So the Gemara says anybody who's chayav to be tovel in the mikvah, and certainly in the days of the Mikdash, tefillah b'mikvah, aside from today, who's obligated to be tovel in the mikvah? Women as part of the observance of Hilchot Nida. All other tefillot b'mikvah are matters of custom. But in times of Tumah V'Tahara and whatnot, people went to mikvah all the time. That's why, you know, in the old city, you can't dig a hole to plant a flower in the old city without finding some Bayit Sheni mikvah. Every house they uncovered from Bayit Sheni had not every house, but many homes had their own private mikvah, right? Which was there not for privacy's sake, but for convenience sake, because he had to constantly be going to the mikvah. So kol chayav tefilot tovlin kedarkan, bein b'tisha b'av, bein b'yom kippurin. I mean, we know from reading the Mishnayot in Yoma, and from the davening on Yom Kippur, that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur would be tovel in the mikvah, right? Because that was part of the avodat Yom Kippurim. So b'mai, so ilema b'chamin, tefila b'chamin miika. So if you want to say that they were tovel in a hot mikvah, so there's no such thing. You don't go to a hot mikvah, right? The mikvah's cold water. It's not today we have mikvahs that are heated up, right? But in those days, mikvahs weren't heated. So if it was heated water, it would be shuavim. It would be drawn water, right? It wouldn't be a live spring. A live spring is always going to be cold. If it's a hot bath, by definition, it's drawn water, which is ipso facto forbidden for a mikveh. Hold on a second. Let's move this down. So the Gemara says, Ela lav bitzone. By definition, you can't learn anything about the fact. You can't learn anything about the fact from the people that went to mikveh on fast days, because in all cases it was going to be cold. V'chayavei tefilot in, right? So anybody that was obligated to go into the mikveh, by definition, was allowed to go into cold water. Inish achrina, lo, but other people, is it forbidden for them to go into cold water, or not forbidden for them to go into cold water? So, Omer of Chana bar Katina, lo nitzrecha ela lachame teveria. This whole teaching in the Braisa about going into the mikvah on fast days is only for David, must have prepared ahead, because he already intuited earlier the inyan of the chame teveria. The chame teveria, the hot springs, the geothermal hot springs up north in Tveria or elsewhere, where the water is naturally hot because of, again, I'll use this word, geothermal heat. Now, how does geothermal heat work? I don't know. But down there, underneath the earth, the water gets hot and it bubbles up. It naturally creates a hot pool. But the hot pools in Chame Tveria, I mean, not if you go to the spa. You know, there's a spa now in Tveria where you can go into these mineral waters, these natural mineral waters, and it's hot. So those pools are not mikvaot, because they take the water from one place and they put it into another place. But in the real Chame Tveria of old, I don't know, are there any places that you could actually go into the Chame Tveria outside? You know, like the way it used to be? Does anybody know? I don't know. But those hot springs, there are places with hot springs in Georgia. Hot Springs, Georgia. There are other places. So those pools, those natural pools are also mikvaot. It's an example of a mikvah which is naturally which is naturally hot. And that's what it was teaching, that even in those cases, they were allowed to go in on the fast days, the people that were obligated to be tovel. So, ihachi, ema seifa, omer Rav Chanina, skan ha-kohanim, kedai, kedai hu beit elokeinu la'abed alav tfila pam achat b'shana. It's worth the house of God, the Beis HaMikdash, is worthy of missing out on one tefillah, one immersion a year. Ve'i amart bitzonein mutar, yirchatz bitzonein. And if you want to say you're allowed to go into the mikvah in cold water, so let you go into cold water. So Omer of Papa, be'atra delo shchiach tzonein. So what case is it talking? It's talking about a very unusual case in which you have hot springs but no cold water. You have no choice but to go to the mikveh in a hot mikveh like in Tveria. And so you have no choice. You have to go into that mikveh. If you don't go in, you won't be able to do the avoda. Of course, Tveria is very far from Yerushalayim, and there are no hot springs in Yerushalayim. So near the Beit HaMikdash, so it's kind of hard to know what this case is. But as a theoretical case, that would be the situation in which you're not allowed to go into the mikveh on a fast day. Tashma, kesha amru asur b'malacha, lo amru ela b'yom. Like we saw earlier, the prohibition to do malacha on this later series of fast days is only during the day. Aval balayla mutar. But at night, the night before, the night after, you can certainly do malacha. V'kisha amru asur b'ne'ilat sandal lo amru ela be'ir. When it said you can't wear leather shoes, that was only talking about inside the city. That was talking about inside the city. Aval baderech mutar. But if you're traveling between cities, you can wear your shoes, because that's considered dangerous to go barefoot in certain places. Ha ketzad, yotze laderech noel. You head out on your journey, you put your sandals on. Nichnas la'ir, you enter the town, choletz, you take your sandals off. Ukesha amru asur berechitza, lo amru ela kol gufo. And when we said it's forbidden to bathe, we mean immersing yourself, taking a shower, getting your whole body wet. Aval panav yadav raglav mutar. You can wash your hands, your feet, and your face on a fast day. V'chein ata motse bin minuda uve evel. And that's the same halacha for a minuda, for somebody, a minude. Someone who is like in Harem, somebody who's been had a ban, a rabbinic ban put on him, so that he's kind of, I guess our term would be socially distant, right? Being socially distant is kind of like being in Harem. Nobody can come to you, nobody can talk to you because they didn't have Zoom. But even if you have Zoom, you can't talk to somebody in Harem, you can't give him an aliyah, you can't be in his Arba Amot, etc. So somebody, it's kind of interesting, somebody for whom the Bet Din put a nidui, which is like a form of a ban, a form of an excommunication, so that person is kind of like in mourning. He should be in kind of mourning. I mean, it's interesting, the idea that the Bet Din had so much authority that they could place such a condition on someone, and he would take it so seriously that he would be in mourning. So when you are in a nidui by the Bet Din, you're not allowed to bathe because you, as a sign of your mourning. And certainly if you're an evel, if you're a mourner for one of your relatives, so you don't bathe. But you can always wash your hands, feet, and face. Tov. Okay, Rabotai, we will stop there, and we'll continue from the middle of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph in 2 weeks' time. Again, I apologize. I am unable to be with you next week. And the week after, the week after, except for those in Chutz La'aretz, we will learn on Isru Chag, the night following Isru Chag. Okay, Rabotai.
Kol look at the search for Atzara when you have a chance.
Say again?
It's in your mailbox. Look at the search for Atzara.
Ah, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Shalom uvracha.
Thank you, Shkoyach.